It's Absolutely Auburn, a place where we'll talk about all things Auburn, Maine, because we're in the middle of it all. The City of Auburn's communications team is dedicated to helping you connect with city government and learn everything you need to know about Auburn, our city, our people, our events, and our community. Welcome to Absolutely Auburn.
In this episode of Absolutely Auburn, we talk with Zach Marr, the Deputy Director of Business and Community Development for the City of Auburn. His department just conducted a community survey, and you'll hear what some of the top priorities are and how they use that information to inform their funding decisions for various programs. Welcome back to Absolutely Auburn. I'm your host, Jen Bonig, and joining me, as always, in the studio is our fabulous producer, Abby Bourne. Hello, Abby.
Morning, Jen.
Also joining us today is Zach Marr, the Deputy Director of Business and Community Development for the City of Auburn. Welcome, Zach.
Howdy.
Zach, as the Deputy Director of Business and Community Development, can you please share a little more about what you do and what your typical workday looks like?
I think what I've heard from a lot of other people within the city is there is no typical workday for the City of Auburn. Primarily, I get to help our team members and our partners develop process improvements that help make our programs more efficient and more effective. Each day is pretty unique. Depends on the, you know, kind of the need of the week, whether it's helping general assistance find new providers for us to refer our residents in need to, or work with public health and our lead abatement program to reach more children at risk of lead-based paint hazard exposures. I get to work with our public service contractors and our community development team to help increase their impact and utilize the HUD funding that we have to work with.
Yeah, your department is home to several programs. Kind of an internal joke here in City Hall. Like, where is the program? Oh, it's probably with Glenn and Zach.
Yeah.
And some of those programs do include, as you just mentioned, general assistance, public health, business services, and community development, which we're kind of focus more on the community development piece of things today. A lot of our, I'd say, more impactful programs probably fall under the community development block grant, or CDBG, which is a federal program administered by HUD. And I know we're throwing around a lot of acronyms, and we're great with that in government. So if you don't know the alphabet soup, HUD is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And CDBG programs are designed to help communities provide decent housing and suitable living environment for people, as well as expand economic opportunities for low and moderate income people. That's a lot of stuff.
It is.
It's a lot of things.
And let's talk about that. We've always joked, too. I mean, we are the Department of Misfit Programs. But that's also what keeps it entertaining and impactful.
But important programs, too.
They're important programs. I mean, we tease,
but...
and within our program, and what we really want to kind of get out a little bit more efficiently and effectively is really what that impact for low and moderate income family people look like. Almost all of our HUD funding is geared towards low to moderate income people. And this is something that some people don't necessarily kind of comprehend. We have to derive all of our programming off from the Lewiston Auburn MSA, Metro Statistical Area, table that HUD publishes every year. And these are the income qualification guidelines we have to follow for our lead program, for our CDBG impact, whether or not we can invest in certain neighborhoods based on how many people in that neighborhood qualify within that income bracket. For example, a family of four making $67,000 is about 80% area median income. That's kind of the top of where we can help people. So if you're a family of four and you're making more than $67,000, you won't qualify for our program. There's a whole table and a nuance to try and qualify families. Within our lead program, we have to try and target renters at 50% area median income. And for a family of four, that's about $42,000 a year in order to qualify as a tenant, so we can go in and help remove lead paint from your apartment. And not everybody does qualify most of the programs we manage. I mean, even general assistance is a much lower threshold. You have to make less than $850 a month in income to qualify for assistance. So the people that we are helping are the most needy in the community.
Right. And these are prescriptive programs. There are rules, there are guidelines. It's not like, I don't want to say you're just making it up, but it is very prescriptive. It's very rules-based. It's federal funding. So there's always strings attached, right?
It is. And it's almost like there's no approval process. It's a it's a gauntlet of qualification checks and balances. And that's really what we try to do is advocate for people to see if we can help them access the federal funding. We don't really have the ability to approve things. If it's not a qualified request, if you're not a qualified household, we cannot invest the federal money into those programs.
Right. So then your team has to pivot and try to help people in other ways, whether it's referring them to community partners or other things.
Right.
And now with these programs and kind of trying to figure out what the community needs, and I know HUD has guidelines, they have qualifications, and you have to follow that. But these programs, you also do get input from the community as far as what their needs are. And in fact, you just conducted a community survey, which CDBG funds direct you to do that?
Yep. In order to utilize HUD funds, we do have to have a citizen participation plan that is approved by the council. It's established. It follows a lot of HUD guidelines. It's something that we revamped again during the pandemic, especially when we couldn't gather, we couldn't hold public hearings. We really tried to find new ways to get out there. But it wasn't anything new. We really took an old survey process that the city had on the books. This year was definitely an improvement in the process. We worked with students from a Bates College statistics course. They helped us redesign the questions to make sure that we're asking the right things. They helped us figure out the best way to interpret that data when we do receive it. And then we've spent a couple of years working with the marketing department and communications to help us get it out to residents. So we did do every door mailers to every residential address. That helped us this year dramatically increase. It's a 400%+ increase in our response.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
And we still clearly want more, and we'd love to have more and more input. Mm-hmm. But then again, we can take this and at least show that what it is we are doing, priorities that we are utilizing these resources for are going to be really what people are looking for and what people are seeing out there as unmet needs within the community.
So you asked people to check what their top three priorities were that they felt the city should focus on. So what did the community say? What did those results show?
Yeah, the top priorities from the survey was affordable housing, followed by public service, and then parks and trails. Affordable housing is not an unexpected response, given what we've seen within the city and within the state. We are expanding our work with our local organizations again, following what we've been doing with nonprofits and people who really do the work better than us. We've been working a lot more with Androscoggin Land Trust to help us with our trail systems and help develop new partnerships and access. And it's really nice as well to see that, you know, we've been working on that initiative, and that is something that people within the community do want to see expanded.
I think it's nice to see that, like, the things that you're working on are aligning with what the community is wanting. And I appreciate what you said about working with, you know, local nonprofits and stuff, because I do think people sometimes think that cities should do it all, but, you know, it's just not possible. So using the resources around us is super beneficial and will get better results, I think.
It's definitely what we've seen. We are not the best at what we do. And I think most city departments can appreciate, you know, we're asked to do things where people feel that we should meet every need out there. And we are not the best equipped, nor do we have the capacity and bandwidth to meet every need that every resident has. So finding partners and community members that can really step up and do it themselves, it's a better form of government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and let's face it, they're usually experts in their field. They've been doing the work for a long time. It's kind of that's why they're here. And it's a passion of theirs. That's why the organization formed. You have a passionate group of people that are dedicated to focusing on whatever the topic is. So how do these results impact your work moving forward for your team?
We use the survey results kind of as a backstop for how we put our spending plan together for the next year. And this all rolls up in the five-year plan that HUD has us carry and update every year. This is not a lot of funding. We are not a big allocation city. We expect less than $500,000 in community development block grant funds this year. And our home allocation that we split with the city of Lewiston, we're going to walk away with about $250,000 for affordable housing. That is not a lot of money to invest. So this is where we do try and take the input, use the funds we have, and then leverage our community partnerships and other resources that we can pull together, and like congressional earmark dollars, things that do help our small federal allocation go further to have bigger impact.
Wow, yeah, I didn't realize it wasn't, for all the programs that you guys do, that's not a lot of dollars that are going into it, that's for sure. Now, did any of the survey results surprise you and the team at all?
We were not surprised by the affordable housing. That's something that we've been hearing a lot at our community events. Homelessness as well has been a topic for the past couple of years that we've really been working with, especially with our partner city, to develop approaches and avenues for support that really better address a population that does cross between the cities and that is a countywide issue in general. What we were a little bit more surprised about was the increase of respondents looking for road and sidewalk improvements. A lot of it may be some of the kind of improved questions that we did have. You know, people, if they are walking or if they're not walking in their community, what are they really seeing as an impediment for them to continue walking? And safety, access, sidewalks is something that we've been working on with the transportation director as well to try and find ways to improve the accessibility of our sidewalks.
Yeah, like I said, that I was kind of surprised by that myself when you had sent me over a copy of things. I was like, sidewalks?
Well, maybe, really? Okay, this is silly, but it's like the pandemic. Now people are walking more.
Yeah.
and they're probably noticing things maybe more than they did before. I don't know, just a hypothesis.
And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because now that the weather's getting nicer, I try to get out along the Riverwalk at lunchtime and take a quick walk. And there definitely are, I feel like there are more people out there than there have been previously. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I still was. Now, you had also mentioned public services are a priority, and I was like, okay, public services, what does that encompass? So public services are provided by the government to people living within its jurisdiction, so for the city of Auburn, Auburn residents, for things like fire, police, schools, transportation, healthcare. And as we mentioned, your department in the city of Auburn can't meet all of the needs for everyone. And your partnerships and collaborations that you've been building with community partners are helping you and the residents kind of extend, I don't know if extend the programs is the right word, but connecting people, trying to connect the dots for people. If it's not here in the city of Auburn, then who else could maybe we would refer people to? So I know I had just seen an announcement go out. You brought in another community partner. What are some of the community partners you're working with? And I understand if you don't give us an exhaustive list. So no one, don't get your feelings hurt if Zach forgets you, unless he has a list over there and I don't know. But
from a HUD point of view, our public service approach is not general government service. So yeah, traditionally we think of like fire, rescue as like the public services. Ours are really based on meeting unmet needs, again, of that income qualified population, or really people falling to the general assistance level of help that they need within the community, whether it's eviction prevention, which is what some of these partners we've brought in do help us with. MERS is the newest one that we brought in to really help people with work readiness classes and programming. Again, it's services that we see in other cities that we don't have yet. And this is really, it's a really great partnership for us because it doesn't really cost us much except time and space, utilizing city space and really making sure that residents have a local access to those type of services. Other public services that we do work with regularly, from a homelessness point of view, we work with Safe Voices annually. We've been working with Rumford Group Homes that does housing search, case management to really help people either prevent evictions or find access to new housing, which is very difficult in this market, from the rental rates to really the limit on available qualified housing that we can help people get into. That's been a very big impact. We've been working with at least over 136 Auburn residents that are housing insecure, at least find and achieve stable housing in the past year. And again, it's not us. It's really us with our partners, and us being able to either refer or provide funding to expand and match the dollars that those programs already have to do that good work. Additionally, especially over the pandemic, we spent a lot more funding and time to help people with food insecurity. Through the Grab and Go program, really, it's a program administered by the PAL Center and their team. But we were able to utilize federal funding and provide them the resources that they needed to provide funding to over 670 Auburn residents who did not have necessarily access to groceries or didn't have the ability to leave their home to get groceries during the pandemic. They were brought to their units so that they didn't have to go out if there was an added risk to them.
That's fantastic. Because, you know, again, we can't do everything, but it does take a village. It does take a village, and we all need to help each other out. I love that you guys are leveraging those community partnerships and kind of working with the people who are already doing the work, and they're already experts in the field, and then hopefully there's no duplication and redundancy.
We really try not to duplicate, which is why we don't do much of the work ourselves. We really try and find a way. And again, what HUD wants us to utilize most of these funds for is to kind of incentivize new organizations and programs to really get developed. They don't want us to spend the same money on the same organization every year. We're just supplanting other operational funds at that point. We're really trying to incentivize and help local organizations, you know, step up and take the initiative to improve the community within which they operate. And if we can provide short-term funding, help them with, you know, access, some resources, some helping them structure the way that they get referrals and the way that they internalize their own accountability for the impact that their program has, that's what we really try and do with the funding. And then in another year or two, we can find more as new emerging needs and resources are needed. We can identify those and extend that impact.
And do you do every year you have to do a community survey? So obviously then year after year, if things change, that would shape and change kind of the focus of the work that you guys are using those HUD dollars for?
Absolutely. And it's something that I've been doing, especially within my role within the department, is working with all the different program managers, helping them figure out, you know, what their data says to them, how we can institute program improvements within it, and then use their impact data to report back out whether or not we're having a positive impact, or if the needs that we are seeing that are really presenting themselves within our office and with our separate programs, if we can change or improve those in order to be more impactful.
So what's the most interesting part of your job, Zach?
I think the most interesting part has got to be the constant change. We do get to see these emerging problems come up within some of the data, and then being able to try and craft solutions. It puts us on a higher level, I think, even within the state and within some of our other federal partners and programs that we're working for. We have a tendency to go back to them with new problems that we've found either within how the programs work and leverage them to be able to change the guidelines or at least make exceptions so that we can actually better address it. And then some of the one-off programs that the council's had us create. Really, that is probably what keeps me from getting bored.
How long have you been in this position with the city?
I have been with the city for 3 years.
And you've seen like that change happen over the 3 years?
It was, yeah. And it was definitely unique coming out of the pandemic and trying to, you know, utilize a program that identifies critical needs of low to moderate income people who were very impacted, whether it's access to food or, you know, with the housing increases, we're seeing so much more. The ending of the state emergency rental assistance program has caused a huge influx in the amount of people within our community that just can't afford their apartment, can't afford their utility bills. And that's where, you know, trying to find creative ways to pivot and to try and at least alleviate some of that. And at the same time, turning around, taking the data that we're collecting on the ground and going back to the state and the feds and reporting on how sometimes their funding isn't really effective. The strings and the restrictions they put on the programs are not effective when it comes to actually delivering program.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's that you're the boots on the ground. You're seeing what people need. And sometimes when you get into those other levels, you're removed from that piece. So that's where you and your team come in, and you can shine a light on all those wonderful things.
Maybe there's just too many hoops, you know, to jump through sometimes.
So what is your favorite thing about Auburn? And it doesn't have to be work related.
My favorite thing about Auburn? Strange.
It's not strange. We ask everyone this question. Haven't you listened?
Yes, I've done my research. I grew up in a rural community just outside of Auburn. So Auburn was always our big city. I mean, it's where we went to restaurants. I mean, it's the mall that we spent all of our time walking through. And it's nice now, especially to be part of putting on some of that programming, bringing in some of the new businesses and restaurants, and to see it almost as another generation removed, you know, bringing my kids to the family events here and still going out, having fun, giving them the city exposure that they want, and then like still making it home at a reasonable hour. It's pretty nice.
A lot of people say, yeah, Auburn kind of gives you a little slice of everything. You can be rural, you can be more city downtown with events and shops and restaurants and things to do, but then you can sneak away and go cross-country skiing or downhill skiing or just take a walk in the trails. You can kind of do it all right here in the city of Auburn. And we won't hold it against you that you don't live here.
But you'd have to hold it against me, too.
We'd have to hold it against all of us, actually.
Yeah, that's true. We're all a room of just outside of Auburn.
Oops. We're all in those bedroom communities of Auburn. Yeah. So, obviously, Zach, we didn't have time to touch on all of the things that your department does and all of the programs. So, if you want more information, you can visit the city's website, auburnmaine.gov. If you go under the government tab and look for the departments of the city, you will find business and community development there. You'll find contact information for Zach and his team, and probably not an exhaustive list, but an overall list of programs that are happening. And I think the one thing, especially with our last episode with our planning and permitting friends, if you're not sure, just call, just reach out. Whether it's to the department directly or when you call into the city and you talk to Tracy, our switchboard operator, she'll direct you to the right place and just call and ask. And yeah, we'll answer the questions or we'll get you to the right place. And that's all you got to do. Pick up the phone, shoot an email. If you don't want to talk to a human, that's fine too. All that information. What's the general email again, Abby, that people can do to the city?
comments@auburnmaine.gov.
And right, that email will come in and again, we'll filter it to the right department or program. So thanks, Zach, for coming in and sharing a little slice of what CDBG dollars are and aren't and the community survey and some of those priorities. I think it's interesting stuff, and we'll see how you use that over the next year to help residents here in Auburn.
No pressure.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for joining us on Absolutely Auburn. You can find all things Auburn, Maine at auburnmaine.gov and goauburn.me. You can also listen to us anytime, anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. The City of Auburn's communications team wants to remind you that Absolutely Auburn is the only official podcast for the City of Auburn, Maine.